Issues of identity have also played a big role in the emergence of South Sudan as Africa's newest nation. Religious identity, for example. There is a large number of Christians in South Sudan. That sets it apart from Northern Sudan, where Muslims are the majority. American Christians were instrumental in pressuring the Bush administration to support the 2005 peace treaty that ended the long civil war between North and South. And that influence is still felt in South Sudan, as Matthew Brunwasser reports from Juba.
It's Sunday morning services at the Pentecostal Juba Christian Center. American-style Christianity is big in South Sudan.
The Holy Spirit is moving in this nation. A lot of prayers are being poured.
It's not unheard of for politics and pulpit to mix. But in relations between states, faith usually takes a back seat to realpolitik. In the case of the 2005 peace treaty between North and South Sudan, it was the opposite. Douglas Johnston with the International Center for Religion and Diplomacy in Washington says American Christians essentially drove the politics.
Because a lot of them were doing missionary kind of work down there, and they had seen a lot of the very bad stuff going on, and they would report back, and then the churches got involved. And had it not been for that element, I don't think we would have ever gotten involved in Sudan, nor do I think anybody would have ever cared about Darfur.
President Bush appointed retired senator and ordained Episcopal priest John Danforth as a Sudan envoy. There was war between North and South. Council of Church was lobbying for peace in the U.S. and Europe. Anok Tombe is the Episcopal Bishop of Rajaf. He was the head of the council whose monitors were documenting human rights abuses.
They were to collect the data of every bomb dropped in the South by Sudan government air force, by location, by time, by whatever was injured, the people or whatever. All this information proved very useful. When John Danforth came, he got that information. He used it to press the parties, Sudan government in particular, to agree to stop killing civilians.
The story of the suffering Sudanese Christians resonated loudly with American Christians. Aaron Shapiro works in the Juba office of Samaritan's Purse, run by Franklin Graham, Billy's son, one of the biggest faith-based organizations in Sudan.
I think it was probably a very easy story to sell, for better or for worse. Arab Muslims versus black Christians. It definitely goes over as a good headline and a good story within the Christian community. It's much more complex than that.
There was a strange coalition of political bedfellows pushing for action in Sudan. Conservative Christians, the Congressional Black Caucus, and human rights groups. The signing of the peace treaty 6 years ago ended the war and paved the way for last January's secession vote in South Sudan. It also mandated freedom of worship. Christianity is alive and well. After services at the Pentecostal Juba Christian Center, parishioner Christine Pony says she expects Christianity to grow in South Sudan. She throws around the names of American televangelists, like their movie stars.
I watch them on TV so many times. I'm a fan of T.D. Jakes, so to call it a fan, but I really like his preachings. They are real, practical. Benny Hinn is another Pentecostal gentleman. I even subscribe to his incoming mails and so on and so forth. Despite the recent issues about his family life, Benny Hinn is the man.
Dear God, dear God, dear God, dear God, dear God, he was wounded for our transgression.
This is Benny Hinn on his miracle crusade at the Nelson Mandela Stadium in Kampala, Uganda.
Somebody shout hallelujah!
There's some concern here that a particular form of American Christianity is spreading too quickly. Marina Peter is the European coordinator for the Sudan Ecumenical Forum. She says South Sudan is ripe for exploitation by unscrupulous preachers. She expects independence to set off a gold rush for souls.
For those churches who want to have an influence, who want to grow, it's just wonderful. They have all these many, many people not educated who would just follow whatever they are told. My fear is that these poor people will be misused.
Some amount of exploitation might be the price society pays for progress. However South Sudan's new religious freedom develops, the new country will have Christian believers to thank for its new freedoms. For The World, I'm Matthew Brunwasser, Juba, South Sudan.